Friends, on this Good Friday, would you open your Bibles with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and we're looking at the crucifixion beginning at verse 45. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, as we were at the beginning of this COVID trial in Australia, I have to confess to you that I naively thought it would be over by Easter. I was very happy to take it seriously and to suspend services. It's definitely the wise and loving thing to do. But my wishful thinking has been crushed by the reality that here we are at Easter and still in isolation, and coronavirus is still extremely serious here in Australia and around the world. I can't help but think that in the mystery of God's loving providence, that one of the good things that will come out of this trial is that we will have more time to think more deeply of Jesus. And I've got a range of reflection questions for you in this message. And my first reflection question for you is this: out of this season of isolation, how will my knowledge of Jesus change and grow? Please ask that of yourself and reflect on that this Good Friday. It's interesting, actually, a number of wise Berwick Anglican members have already made this suggestion to me that it should be a time of growing in our understanding of Jesus. I give credit to Liz Wakelin and Manny Gerrits and Marjorie Millard and Vasantha David and actually a couple others I've forgotten. Could God be telling us something about making special use of this time? I hope this trial will never happen again in our lifetime. That also means it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity to go deeper into what he has done for you on the cross. If your temporary isolation gives you an eternal benefit, then you're winning. So friends, out of this season of isolation, how will your knowledge of Jesus change and grow? Not just grow, but also change and grow. Well, let's look at Matthew's account of the crucifixion. We jump in to a critical moment in his account. And maybe after this video has finished and you listen to the provided Good Friday music playlist we've given you on YouTube, you open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel and read all of chapter 27, and you'll read about the sham trial of innocent Jesus, and you'll read about the mocking and the beating he receives. You'll see especially how the religious authorities didn't help him. No, they actually made it much worse, mocking him more than anyone, as did also the Romans. It's rough stuff, but actually, going straight to verse 45, it the events take a darker turn, literally. There's a supernatural darkness in the middle of the day. It's a picture Matthew's painting of Jesus under divine banishment. As told by the prophet Isaiah, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The darkness is divine punishment. And Jesus himself seems to understand that this predicament, that he's under a divine punishment or a divine forsakenness, because he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Finding these words from Psalm 22, Jesus expresses his faithfulness in calling out to God, and at the same time, he's acknowledging actually this is all part and parcel of his mission to be forsaken. Forsaken, friends, in my place and in your place. The Bible says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Or this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Friends, is this your gospel joy and hope, that Jesus substituted himself for you? Friends, the healthy soul rests on the sacrifice of Christ. The godly person rejoices in the cross of Christ. So let me ask you the next reflection question, number two. Ask yourself, do I rejoice that Jesus was forsaken so I could be forgiven? One of the songs that we sing normally on Good Friday, and it's on our playlist on YouTube, is Amazing Love from Hillsong. And the first line is, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. Do you rejoice that Jesus was forsaken so that you could be forgiven? The gift of salvation cost him a lot, but we should rejoice in the gift. Don't be like the crew there, the helpers, offering Jesus a wine vinegar sponge, and they're basically kind of clueless. They're trying to help. They're religious. They think he's calling Elijah. But actually, it's a sad combination of being reverent to the cross and yet misunderstanding it. Friends, understand the cross and rejoice that he was forsaken so that you could be forgiven. Well, we go on in Matthew's account to verse 50, and this verse 50, I think, is the most critical part of the way Matthew tells the Good Friday story. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. It's fascinating, that description. Matthew doesn't say Jesus' enemies killed him. He doesn't say the cross killed him, and he certainly doesn't say that Satan killed him. But look carefully at verse 50, and I've got a few different versions here you can look at. Matthew's quite explicit that Jesus gave up his spirit, that Jesus let go. He gave himself over to death. It's where we get our phrase, actually, to give up the ghost, from Matthew 27. What Matthew's telling us is that it's purposeful. It's deliberate. Elsewhere in the Bible, no one else dies like this. It says normally they expired. Herod expired, or Ananias and Sapphira died. It's passive, but Jesus doesn't expire. He chooses to complete his act of atonement by giving up his spirit. Friends, earlier in Jesus' ministry, actually in John's gospel, when Jesus was speaking about himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, he was really passionate to clarify that. He says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. It's part of his divinity. It's part of his authority. And so, if you can pardon this pun, consider the careful execution of Jesus. He doesn't die like an intensive care unit patient, passive and helpless. Instead, out of love for you, he chose the cross, he chose to die, he gave up his spirit for you. It's very deliberate. So friends, take this time to reflect on this question. Am I confident that the cross of Jesus is sufficient for my entire forgiveness? The cross for Matthew's gospel is to be understood as a purposeful achievement, not a tragedy. The cross is a choice of Jesus, and therefore it's the accomplishment and the finished work of Jesus, of his mission. So therefore, we ought to celebrate with confidence that our sins are forgiven in this perfect and sufficient sacrifice once for all. Don't have any doubt that the mission was completed or not. It's not 50% or 90% complete. It's 100% complete. It's a full atonement. So friends, have assurance of salvation this Good Friday. Are you confident that the cross of Jesus is sufficient for your entire forgiveness? Well, after verse 50, there's a real change in the way Matthew tells the story. And we had darkness and negative things, but everything just turns positive, even on Good Friday, from verse 51. The tone becomes almost celebratory as it describes a number of supernatural miracles that happen immediately as Jesus dies. The temple curtain in the Jewish Old Covenant temple is torn in two, top to bottom, symbolizing that access to God is now available through this finished work of Jesus. And no longer do you have to come to God through the Old Covenant sacrifices and rituals. The earth shakes and tombs are opened and the dead rise. This is the only gospel that records this event. And I think Matthew's telling it as a way of showing the immediate confirmation that Jesus has achieved his purpose. He's achieved full forgiveness. And so the dead rising are a little sneak peek of God's eternal kingdom to come, which is for all who have been forgiven through the cross. And the biggest miracle, I think, out of all these little positive things that are happening in Matthew 27, 51 onwards, is that at the moment of his death, there's a spiritual regeneration in the hearts of the hardened Roman soldiers. They're born again. And this Roman centurion and his buddies put their faith in Jesus. He says, truly, this was the Son of God. He gets it. And so as they make their response to Jesus and his death on the cross, there may be people watching, and I want to give you a chance to respond for the first time to Jesus' death on the cross. The reflection question is, have I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord? Please ask that of yourself today. Early in Matthew's gospel, there was a time they were in this boat and the wind and the waves, and Jesus calmed them. And the disciples made kind of this response to Jesus. They said, truly, you are the Son of God. And now the centurions make a similar response. All through the gospel, you have people expressing their loyalty to Jesus and entering into a relationship with him. In the next chapter, we're actually going to see this on Easter Sunday. After the resurrection, the disciples renew their faith in Jesus and they fall at his feet in worship. So this is a challenge I think Matthew's giving to us. Will we make the same response? Have you expressed your loyalty to King Jesus and have you made it public? Have you given up trying to be your own boss, trying to be your own master? Have you actually consciously made Jesus your master? Every person in Matthew's gospel who's a true disciple is falling down before Jesus as Savior and King. So friends, why won't you or why don't you today? If you're not sure whether you're truly forgiven, then please pray with me this prayer that I'm going to pray in the middle of my sermon, and bow your heads and pray with me. Lord Jesus, For too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Be my forever King, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. Well, friends, please tell someone if you prayed that prayer, and may we rejoice with you and the angels in heaven. I have to tell you about one last set of people, though. I'm not at the end yet. There's a godly group here in Matthew's retelling of the story. A group of godly women who have been on the fringe, but faithfully at a distance, a long time. Matthew actually says these women have been ministering to him, taking care of his needs. And they're so faithful, they cannot walk away. And there's a couple of them are called Mary, and this is an unnamed mother. They're not really famous in the Bible. And they watch from a distance, and it seems that their hope in Jesus is unshaken. They're hanging on, even with a little bit of social distancing. The 12 apostles, we don't know where they are, long gone. But these godly women are given a credit in Matthew's historical record for hanging on through the ordeal of Good Friday. And so a last reflection question. Friends, like these women, ask yourself, will I stick with Jesus through every trial? Will I stick with Jesus through every trial? Be inspired by their faithful example. They stick to Jesus through thick and thin. They're the last people to leave the site of the crucifixion. They're the first there at the tomb on Sunday dawn, and they're the first to witness the resurrection. Makes me wonder, who will be the faithful person who's going to be first through the doors of Berwick Anglican Church when the building is reopened? It's probably going to be one of our church's many godly Mary Magdalenes. Will you stick with Jesus through every trial? So friends, this is Good Friday. This is a death like no other. It's sad, isn't it, that as you in the current trials of 2020, as you turn on the TV, a death is now a number, a dot or a line on a graph. It's awful. Every time you watch the news, here in Matthew's gospel is a death that is unique. Here is a death that is not a tragedy, but a victory, an atonement for sin made by God's one and only Son. Somebody once said, God sacrifices himself for man and puts himself where only man deserves to be. We deserve the cross, but Jesus took it for us. This is the death that changes everything. And dear friends, I wish you were in the room with me so I could say this to you, but your life and your death matter to God as well. He loves you, and Good Friday happened for you. Please do not die without receiving the forgiveness of your sins from our loving God and Father. And please do not live without rejoicing in and depending on the precious atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to encourage you now, friends, just to take some time the rest of your Good Friday morning or wherever you're listening, and listen to the Good Friday songs we've provided on the Berwick Anglican YouTube channel. You may like to discuss some of these reflection questions with those in your lounge room, or just spend time alone reading through Matthew's account of the crucifixion and pondering your own response to our Saviour's death for us. Amen.